Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Teaching your child to sleep independently can be a really good thing.
This is the middle of the night. Yes. This doesn't feel like the morning. It was such a struggle.
If you don't want them to sleep in your bed,
yeah,
don't bring them into your bed.
Rosie, what's the biggest myth about children's sleep that you would love to bust?
Oh, love this question. I always say one of the hardest parts about becoming a parent is being forced to be an early bird. Sleep, in my opinion, is the most important pillar of our health.
Is that a real thing?
You don't have to suffer long-term sleep deprivation. You absolutely don't. There's always something you can do.
Hi, everyone. I'm Emily.
And I'm Matt.
And welcome back to our podcast, What They Don't Tell You.
But we will.
Yes. And today we are so excited. We have our first guest on the podcast, and we had to get someone on to talk about sleep because it is the bane of our life as parents. So today we're so excited that we are joined by Rosie Davidson. She's a baby sleep consultant, an author, and the founder of Just Chill Baby Sleep. She's also a mum to three, the trusted expert to thousands of parents and a few celebs. So if you are desperate for some more sleep, or you just are curious about what really helps at bedtime, then this one is the one for you. Rosie, thank you so much for coming.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thank you. As I said, sleep is just such a huge part of parenting and something that you maybe aren't expecting that's going to be impacted so much. So we have so many questions for you. But before we get into those, I'd love to know that bit of background about you and how you even became a baby sleep consultant.
Sure, yeah. So it started around 12 years ago. My eldest baby wasn't sleeping. And I thought, I should have this nailed. Like, what is going on? She's broken. Like, I can't carry on like this. There must be something I can do. So I researched to the hills, and actually I thought I knew everything. I'd read all the baby books and I was like, why isn't this working? But I spoke to my health visitor, my brother-in-law, who's a doctor. I spoke to a nanny who gave me like the idea about routine. And I was like, I thought that what I'd been doing with her was like a really good routine. But actually it turns out I'd been trying to get her to sleep when she probably wasn't tired enough. But the overarching message from these people was she's not self-settling. And I thought I was doing everything right to get her to sleep. But looking back, I was stopping her from sleeping.
Yeah.
And honestly, we worked on a method and within three nights, she was sleeping through the night.
Wow.
And this was when she was 6 months and it totally and utterly transformed our lives. I went from thinking I've made a mistake, I shouldn't have been a mum, to then having a baby who slept. And I was like, I can actually enjoy life. I can enjoy being with her. She's happier. So anyway, it sparked a real interest. And I've always been into health, fitness, wellness, nutrition, that kind of area. I was working in higher education when she was a baby. And I was just like, I'm going to train in this. I started helping friends and family informally. And one of my best friends, I helped with her baby. And she said, you have to do this. This is your calling. Like, you need to do this.
Yeah.
So that was it. And then I trained and the rest is history.
Yeah,
oh my gosh, amazing.
How many books later? And,
two books. Yeah.
Amazing.
And I mean, we had struggles with our babies as well, like, especially with the first. We were at breaking point, weren't we, at one point?
Because you're sleep deprived as well, right? Yeah. It's not just their sleep, I think that's... And you realise you're losing sleep, so you wonder what they're going through as well.
And everything's worse when you're tired. And like you say, you do feel like you're failing as a parent because you know, you can read all the books and then they come along and they don't sleep when you are expecting them to sleep, or they're not sleeping for as long as you think they're going to sleep, and you sort of blame yourself, don't you?
Yeah.
But what are the common, like the most common sleep problems you see, or that people come to you for babies, toddlers and children?
Yeah. So I'm qualified from newborn up to teenage and actually adult sleep as well. But most of our clients will come with newborns, babies, toddlers, and maybe young children. So I'd say the key areas people want help with is night waking. That's probably the most popular, because if you're being woken during the night, that's probably the hardest. Yeah. Also naps. So babies like who aren't napping or they're struggling to get them to nap need more of a predictable schedule. We can also get what we call false starts, where you put them down at bed and then they wake up 10 minutes later crying. Okay. So that's a false start.
Yeah.
Mm. Also, nap transitions, we call them. So when, you know, they're dropping a nap, so maybe they do three naps, they're going to two naps to one nap to none.
Mm-hmm.
And early waking is probably the other most popular area, because so many children wake up really, really early.
Yeah.
We've got one of those still.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
But then to be fair, our eldest was, and he still, even though he's a teenager, he still wakes up like fairly early. So I do as well, as I feel like. But then he's a man now, as opposed to the 8-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I remember, like, we used to start the day at 5 a.m. and I remember thinking, this is the middle of the night.
Yes.
Like, this doesn't feel like the morning. Yeah. It was such a struggle. Why is that? Why do some children just wake up at, you know, the crack of dawn?
Well, I think we have to recognise that most children and babies do wake fairly early. For me, I always say anything before 6 is nighttime. Mm. So I would treat it like nighttime and try and solve that early wake.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting you mentioned about your son. So when they get to teenage years, when they go through puberty, the circadian rhythm, our internal body clocks change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we become a later person, essentially. It's really interesting the theory and the science behind it is that when we used to be cavemen and women and life was quite dangerous, we needed someone to always be awake. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the reasons why you have chronotypes, they're called generally. So early birds, mm-hmm. night owls, people in between. Mm. But also you have teenagers who tend to be more of a night owl. So there's always someone watching the camp, essentially. So it's really interesting. But small children tend to have an early chronotype, some earlier than others, because we all have our individual chronotypes. So like you said, you're an early riser and you kind of always have been, probably always will be. Yeah. I'm a like extreme night owl. So if I had the choice, I would stay up probably till 1 o'clock in the morning and get up at 9. That's how I'm most comfortable. But having children,
it's not
possible.
Right?
Yeah, it's not possible. So I always say one of the hardest parts about becoming a parent is being forced to be an early bird if you're not.
Yeah, it's so true.
But children will wake up early. But early waking can be caused by a few factors. Number one, often it's children are just going to bed too early and they're waking up fully rested.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's only so much sleep anyone can take. So it might be, I had a client recently who said, you know, my little one's waking up at 5.
Mm.
And I said, what time do you go to bed? She said 6.
Oh,
wow.
And I'm like, well,
I mean,
he's giving yourself
an evening at least.
He's done 11 hours.
Yeah.
So that's why he's waking. So we need to shift it. Imagine it's like a clock change. We're trying to shift that body clock.
Mm.
But there's other reasons. It could be like if they're not self-settling, then it's harder to resettle in the early hours. Mm-hmm. It could be light coming in. It could be noise in the home. There's lots of different things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So with the ages and hours, how many hours sleep would you say, I don't know how you'd break it down, 0 to 5 or babies and then...
Well, it's really individual, okay? Yeah. So if you Google it, there's loads of different guides and it will give you a rough amount of sleep you might expect. Like a newborn, for example, in 24 hours, you'd expect maybe 17 hours sleep. And gradually, as they grow, that will reduce to the point where with a teenager, you'd probably be looking at somewhere between 8 and 10 hours.
Yeah.
But it is really individual. So some people will be quite happy, like adults, on 6 hours sleep. Some need 10 hours sleep.
Yeah.
The average, and this is why people talk about 8 hours, is around 8 hours.
Yeah. Mm.
But that's just an average. So the way you work it out is, are they waking up happy and rested in the morning? If they're not, you have to wake them up. they've not had enough sleep. Mm. And you can work back from the time they need to be awake. And this is the work with teenagers and older children that we often have to do, because they might have to be up for a certain time to get to school or college or whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
And some, like, sometimes they have early start times or like clubs before school, and you have to work it back and get them to bed early enough so that they've had that window of sleep that they need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Even with our three children, like, they're all so different.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have to wake up our middle one every day for school, but he goes to bed at a really good time, but we do find that we have to wake him. He seems to want to sleep in.
I think he's going to be the night owl, though, like, if out of choice. I mean, he doesn't ever want to go to bed.
No, yeah.
Whereas the eldest is just typical first, and he's just good to be like, oh, mate, up you go.
But everyone is so individual. Even us as adults, like, we're very different, aren't we?
Yeah.
And I could probably do with some of your advice as a good sleep hygiene, you know. Yeah.
I'm the type that could sleep anywhere, but I do get up early. So if you ask me to, I could have half an hour nap now, quite easily.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. Standing up on a train.
Oh, my God. But with us, like, you know, with our first, well, like, as I said, we really, really struggled. He would get up every 2 hours, and then I'd be feeding, burping for an hour. So it felt like I was only having an hour in between, and we were, like, on our knees in the end. So I, you know, I wish I'd had someone like you around that I could have called on, because I was like trying to read books, trying to work out what to do. And in the end, I did go down like the self-settling sort of route. Is that, but then there's a lot of controversy around, you know, crying out or not, or, you know, is that the best thing to do? Or...
Okay, so first of all, sleep and parenting, with all parenting topics, is incredibly individual, and we have to do what works for us and our family. Mm. But we do know from the evidence base, the research that we have around sleep, that teaching your child to sleep independently can be a really good thing. And the way that we do that, or the way that me and my team do that, is evidence-based. I'm an evidence-based sleep coach. So the practices that we use are effective, they're safe, they are respectful, and they're kind. Mm-hmm. So it depends how you're looking at it. I think the idea of cry it out is outdated. Mm. There are still some people who do that, but I'd say they're more kind of old-fashioned nanny types.
Yes, yeah.
But you can look at making change without doing, you know, drastic measures. However, if we are changing how our little ones fall asleep, babies or children, sometimes that can bring up some upset for them and for us. Mm-hmm. But you can hold like a loving, firm boundary without traumatizing your child. You're their safe space. You are there to reassure them that they're safe, everything's okay, but it is time to sleep. So you're holding that boundary. Mm-hmm. And even with babies, that's the case. So staying as calm as possible, but reassuring them every 2-3 minutes or whatever you decide, whatever approach you're looking at, is perfectly safe and a legitimate way to improve sleep. Mm-hmm. It's not to say it's the only way, because you can do other ways and try and minimize the crying as much as possible. Mm-hmm. But sometimes our children do get upset.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really nice way to put it. Like, you're just teaching them how to sleep, because they don't know how to get to sleep. So it's like, you know, we teach them all these other skills. We teach them how to eat. We teach them how to use the toilet.
Yeah.
You're just teaching them something else. So, you know, it's an important skill to have as well. Yeah.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
We didn't have it so much, but obviously now screen time is a big thing as well, right? Oh. What's your opinions on that? I mean, how much does that affect a child's sleep? What's the reality?
It definitely can affect sleep. And I think we need to, again, look at it on an individual basis. How much are they having? What content are they consuming? And when are they consuming it? So if a child is on screens all day long, that's obviously not a good thing. The standard advice is to reduce or stop screen time at least an hour before bed. Mm-hmm. One of the things that has been spoken about historically a lot is the light from our screens and saying it can inhibit melatonin production, which is one of our sleep hormones. However, more recent research suggests that it's much less impactful than we thought, the light itself. What's more impactful is the content.
Yeah.
So if we're looking at exciting and stimulating things before bed, like imagine if you, even with TV, if you were watching, I don't know, a horror film or an action film, you get really excited, your heart might start racing, there's adrenaline, there's cortisol around your body. It's harder to switch off and go to sleep. Yeah. Mm. And it's the same with children and screens. Mm-hmm. There is a small element of light could potentially have an effect, but actually what's more impactful is the light in our homes. So the latest research suggests that it's the light in our homes which will keep us awake. So if you were to turn all the lights off, you're probably going to be ready for sleep much earlier than you would have been.
Okay, that's so interesting.
Yeah, we've said it before about the screens, but I would rather my children watch 2 hours of good content than half an hour of absolute garbage.
Yeah.
There's the volumes all over the place. It's some guy screaming, etc. You're the same with watching movies, aren't you?
You know, sometimes if we'll start watching a series and it gets really serious, there's lots of murders and things like that. I can't watch this.
We've just stopped watching anything good, haven't we? It's like pretty boring, aren't we?
Yeah. Whereas, you know, there's a few little YouTube channels that the boys love. You know, it's literally your grandma reading stories.
Oh.
Like she reads books. She's called Arnie's House. She's amazing. But I feel like that is obviously it's still a screen, but it's not gonna, like you say, give them that adrenaline hit or you know, hype them up before bed.
It's when the kids go, like Jackson does it, like, Dad, can you make up a story? And you're like, oh my God, like you're literally you've gone past your bedtime, you're just stalling now. I'm like, there's only so many stories I can make up.
Yeah.
And another time when sleep seems to go a bit haywire is when you transfer from the cot to the bed. Is there a right age to do that? Or have you got any advice around
that sort of stage? Absolutely. So leave it as long as possible is my first piece of advice. Mm. I think a lot of people rush the transition. They think maybe it's going to help sleep. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, I've heard from so many people, they hate their cot. They don't hate their cot, they're just not used to it. Mm. So I would say don't do it before 2.5, 3 if you can. Mm-hmm. My son is actually 3.5 and he's still in a cot.
Oh, wow. I love
that. He's really tall as well, but he's really happy. He fits in the space. We're all happy. So if it's not broke, you know, why try and fix it? The only time I would move them out really earlier is if they're climbing out of the cot, because then it's not safe.
Yeah, a 14-year-old, he's started being able to climb over it.
Put the gate around.
Yeah.
So if they're climbing out, it's not safe, but you can think about putting them in a sleeping bag. Normally that stops them from climbing. Yeah. So sometimes people say to me they're climbing out at age 2 and we revert back to a sleeping bag and it's fine.
We used to love a bag, didn't we?
Oh, we loved bags. We loved it. Ours were in it to the point where they were just taking them off in the morning. They were taking them off climbing out. We were like, maybe it's time to stop putting you in the bag now.
They was texting us, can I get out of my bag?
So the thing is, if you do move them out early, some of them will be okay, but they don't have what we call impulse control. So the older they are, the more impulse control that they develop. And that means they're more likely to stay in bed. So what can sometimes happen when you move them into a bed, a cot bed or a single bed, whatever you've chosen, they'll keep getting out. Mm-hmm. And if you leave it later, they're more likely to stay in and understand what's going on. And you can talk about it. You can role play with teddies in the day, you know, putting teddy to bed. You can get them involved with like choosing new PJs or a special toy or something.
Mm-hmm. We've had it, but kids that just generally struggle to go down overnight, what's your advice? Whether it be a busy day or it is screen time, have you got any master tips?
Yeah, I think it depends on the age and the child in question. So I would, whenever I'm looking at a sleep issue or a sleep struggle, I want to look at the whole picture. So I'd look at a sleep diary across 24 hours. So if it is a child maybe that's still napping, we'd need to know when and how long the nap was. But even if they're not, we'd look at what time they go to sleep, what time they wake up. Are there any night wakings happening? What's happening at those night wakings? Ooh. Are they having nightmares, night terrors? Anything else that's kind of unusual, worrying, just to check that everything's okay first. And then think about their behaviours and their thoughts around bedtime. Mm. I'm actually trained in pediatric CBTI, which is cognitive behavioural therapy for insomnia. And that's the standard treatment for insomnia for adults as well. So if you were to go to your doctor, they might talk about medications, but hopefully they'd talk about CBTI. Mm. So it's about changing thoughts and behaviours around bedtime. Mm-hmm. So challenging those thoughts in a kind of constructive way to form new positive associations with going to bed.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, like, mm-hmm. a tired parent, you become so obsessed yes. with a routine, and that's their bedtime. And it's like, I don't know, it's like when they say about not making your child eat a full plate of food, like they should eat yeah. until they're full. Mm. I mean, obviously you're not going to let your child dictate to you what time they go to bed, but it's like mm-hmm. half an hour here and half an hour there. It's like when they're tired as opposed
yeah,
to...
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. I think it's really important to have the wind down time before bed.
Yeah.
Mm. But for some children, that wind down time might look different. So we kind of think, oh, relaxing, quiet, calm. But for some children, they actually need to get that last bit of energy out.
Yes.
So yes, trampolining is great. So yeah. bouncing, rocking. So doing like row, row your boat with your feet together, rocking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some children like a firm touch, like you play games or you roll them up like a burrito in a blanket.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
And squeeze them.
My 8-year-old, he loves a wrestle. That's his thing.
Amazing. Yeah.
Like, it gets him upstairs. If he doesn't want to go upstairs, I'm like, mm-hmm. come, we're going to have a wrestle. And then he's up there. And, he just wants a cuddle and a tickle, really. And I'm not allowed to win.
Oh, when they were really little, do you remember we used to always do like dance party?
Yes.
Like before bed. So they would put a little song disco. On. And do a little like dance. It was really cute. But I think, especially with our children, it was like they needed to get those last bit of like, I don't know, take energy and wiggles out before they
we're
could
the same though. Like you'd
relax.
Go for a dog walk or something. You need to
you like
to wind
sort
of, down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, movement's always good. I also like, I posted about it the other day, therapy putty. So it's great for neurodivergent children, but all children can benefit from these kind of things. Mm-hmm. So like if they like to hold things and like squish things, like tactile play in the lead up, maybe just before bedtime routine. So like those kind of things. And as we said, all the movement things as well.
Yeah, there is something quite therapeutic with like, you know, playing with Play-Doh or kinetic sand. and there's more and more children, you know, I don't know if it's nowadays or if it's just we're more aware of it, that are having maybe a bit of anxiety or issues. I guess obviously it depends what's going on in their life. But do you see issues with children having anxiety and then not being able to sleep?
Yeah, I think we need to think about how we frame anxiety. So lots of people talk about anxiety and mental health nowadays, which is fantastic. But we need to also recognise that worrying and thinking, overthinking things is a really normal part of developing as a person. So it's normal for children to have worries at bedtime. It's when you get to a point that it's really affecting and impacting their life that then that kind of moves over into anxiety. But either way, we're looking at supporting them through any challenges that they're facing, helping reframe that, normalize their feelings. So you might say, oh, that sounds really difficult. I remember when I was worried about X, Y, and Z. You can think about other things they've overcome, other challenges. Oh, you were really worried about that football tournament, but you did really well and you tried your best and it actually went really well. And you give them examples of when they've overcome a challenge. So it's always whether they've got, I guess, clinical anxiety or whether they're just worrying about things, you're there as a support system. But it's important to know it's normal for children to maybe be scared of the dark, be worried about friendships, be worried about something that's going on at school, maybe changes in the family. And it's just your job to reassure, but also not change your boundaries. So some people might say, oh, we just brought them into bed because they're so anxious and like they can't sleep on their own. They can't go on that school residential because they're anxious. We need to help them work through it.
Which leads me on to my next question about a child waking in the night. So if a kid comes into your bed, I don't know what age, 7, 8 years old. What should we be doing?
Okay, so first of all, everyone's different. And for some people, that's not a problem. And we have to remember that cultures all around the world, you know, will sleep in the same bed, the same room for years. So it's what works for your family. For me, that wouldn't work because I don't sleep well with my children in our beds. So it's a no.
Lucky you.
So it's really individual, but if you don't want them to sleep in your bed, don't bring them into your bed. And that sounds really simple, and it's not that easy at 3 o'clock in the morning when you're knackered and they're coming in. But you need to calmly return them to their sleep space, remind them that's where they sleep, and don't get involved in negotiations in the middle of the night.
Flip a coin.
Yeah.
But for us, we did co-sleep with them, but I feel like it was from going from the cot to the bed.
Yeah.
They could just then run in, and we were so exhausted. So sometimes we would genuinely just wake up and they'd be in the middle of us. We were like, oh, you're here.
Yeah, how'd you get here?
And then it kind of, then that was it really for years and years and years of just.
And then we're fortunate enough to have double beds in someone in the boys' bedroom. So it's like, oh, I'll just go and sleep in there. But then I don't have a problem with it. So I think, like you say, it's each circumstance.
Yeah, it's like depending on you. And like also, I guess, like your work patterns.
Yeah.
You know, if you have to wake up at five, they're going to wake up at five. You know, so there's so.
We had to up the game with their mattresses. So it's like, right, okay, I don't want to go sleep in there, but it's got to be as good as the mattress in our bedroom, because otherwise it's not fair. I mean, I must look a bit odd, 40-year-old man walking around with a pillow, 2 o'clock in the morning, going from one room to the other, as long as I've got my pillow as well.
Yeah, I mean, as long as it's working for you, it's absolutely fine. And obviously they do grow out of it. Eventually, your teenager's not going to want to be in there with you. Mm. But for some people, it would really impact their sleep and they would really struggle. So you can absolutely change it if you don't want them in with you. But you need to be prepared and be like, right, we've made the decision. This is what we're doing. We have to stick to it. And with everything with children, if you decide on a boundary, you need to hold it because that's actually what makes them feel safe.
Yeah.
If we give a different response every time, it can make them feel even subconsciously a bit unsafe because we don't know how mum and dad are going to react.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, consistency. Yeah.
Mm. So true. At one point, we had our kids just sleep together because we don't necessarily want you in with us, but if you're too afraid to sleep on your own, well, like, you know, we're happy for you to sleep with your sibling. And that works quite well for a while, you know.
We tried to do it with the younger two and they can't stand to be around each other.
Yeah.
What? Want me to sleep with him even though I don't like him?
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, powered by BetterHelp.
Do you get a lot of people that actually want to co-sleep with their children? Do you give help around how to do that safely?
Yeah, I have done with babies particularly. So there's a baby sleep charity in the UK called the Lullaby Trust. Mm. They have fantastic guidelines for anyone who's got a baby who's listening. So for under 12 months, that's what most of their guidance is. So you shouldn't co-sleep or bed share if you've been drinking, if you smoke, if you have pets in the bed, other siblings in the bed. Mm. The baby shouldn't have any adult bedding, so they should have their own sleeping bag.
Mm.
We just need to be careful and safe about it if we're going to do it, have them sleeping on their backs.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at them for kind of more guidance on that. But you can safely bed share. For some people, that works really well and they find that they get a more restful night, especially maybe if they're breastfeeding, they might find it easier than getting up to go to baby all the time. But for some people, it's their worst nightmare. So
It's so individual, isn't it?
Rosie, what's the biggest myth about children's sleep that you would love to bust?
Oh, love this question. The one that I'm plagued with on a daily basis is fear of overtiredness.
Ah.
So overtiredness isn't really a thing. Well, I like to reframe it because you can't get beyond tired. So tiredness, feeling of being tired, is a hormone called adenosine, otherwise known as sleep pressure.
Yeah.
That sleep pressure builds throughout the day to the point where we feel really sleepy. When it's high, like your eyelids are closing, you're kind of nodding off, that's when sleep pressure is really, really high. Sleep pressure will always win. The longer you're awake, more adenosine is in your brain. Mm-hmm. The only way to clear it is to fall asleep. So it will always win, right? But what people say they're overtired is maybe they've missed a nap or you've been out of routine and they've got to the point where they're really tired, okay? So really tired, therefore they're getting upset. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're not regulating their emotions. So the key thing there is to calm them down and they will fall asleep. Mm-hmm. No one will stay awake all night because they haven't slept. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So this overtiredness, and for a lot of families, the fear of overtiredness stops them making change. Because when you make change, there might be some upset. And let's say, for example, you always rock your baby to sleep, but you've decided we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to support them to sleep without rocking. So the bedtime takes a bit longer, maybe 20 minutes longer or something. And they worry that if it takes longer, my baby's going to be overtired and they're not going to sleep. Mm-hmm. It's not the case.
No. Okay. That's so interesting, because when ours were young, it is funny how if they'd had a really good afternoon nap, say 2 or 3 hours, they would almost go to bed even better. I don't know if that's the thing. It was almost like the sleep. I mean, maybe it was just them, but the sleep would sometimes promote more sleep in them.
Yeah. I think it's more that they're settled and they are relaxed. Mm. Therefore, the sleep comes easier. It's not necessarily because they've had more sleep. Mm-hmm. It's to do with their emotional state at bedtime, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And do children sleep? You know, the whole like 2 month regression, 4 month regression, or the different, is that a real thing? Because
no,
been confirmed.
Sometimes if I was, you know, moaning to a health visitor, they would, oh, it's the 6 week sleep regression. I was like, I swear we had 1 2 weeks ago, or you know, it felt like there was always this regression.
Well, there is, you say 6 weeks, there is a 6 weeks growth spurt.
Okay.
The only regression as such is around 4 months, and it's a change in sleep architecture. So actually how we sleep cycles change, they become more like an adult. It also coincides with developmentally, babies become more aware, they kind of wake up. Mm-hmm. But it's not a regression. The term regression is actually really misleading, because in pediatrics, that means the loss of a skill. Uh-huh. So it's actually that they're progressing. So if anything, we'd call it a sleep progression. But even then, it's not set at 4 months as well. It could be a bit before then, a bit after then. Mm-hmm. But all these other regressions, there's no clinical evidence for any of them. Okay. We do know that developmental milestones can have a temporary impact on sleep. So like rolling, walking, talking, if they're suddenly learning lots of new words or something's going on, that can sometimes impact sleep. But if you think about it, everyone's child does these things at different times. Mm-hmm. So one baby might walk at 10 months, one might walk at 18 months. Mm-hmm. So that walking milestone, if that was to impact sleep, it's going to be at different times. Mm. So although we have typical developmental kind of brackets, so you might say within this time, they'll probably do that. We can't put it down to month by month.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's really interesting.
Wish you've had that with your NCT friends, don't you, in your back pocket. Yeah.
People talk about it all the time. They're obsessed with
regression. You know, 12-week, whatever it is. Okay, it's really interesting. And if there's any, like, golden or, you know, one golden rule for parents that are really struggling with sleep, what would your... I know that's, like, really broad.
Yeah. I would say you don't have to suffer long-term sleep deprivation. You absolutely don't. There's always something you can do. It's never too late. So people who come to me with older children or toddlers and they think we've left it too late, you haven't. Mm. You can improve sleep and work on sleep at any age, from newborn to old age. There's always something that you can do, and we can meet them, the person, where they are at and get them sleeping the best that they can.
Yeah. Okay. That's really good news, because I think you do get to the point where you think, oh no, they're really big now. If I try something, they're going to kick off, and you know,
they're going to run out.
I mean, if you wait to 18 months, say, to maybe think, okay, we need to sort this out, then you think they might be getting out of their cot, running out, screaming. It seems a bit more scary than with a baby.
Yeah, I mean, sleep, in my opinion, is the most important pillar of our health. So everything else comes back to sleep. We're more likely to make healthy food choices if we're well slept. Mm-hmm. Physically, we perform better. Our mental health is better. Mm-hmm. Everything comes back to sleep. Mm-hmm. So we need to be prioritizing it like we would prioritize any other area of their lives. Mm-hmm. And if you had challenging behavior, or they weren't eating, or all these other things, you would get help and you would intervene. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, people are hesitant when it comes to sleep. But we should all be prioritizing our sleep above everything else, in my opinion.
So true.
What's great is there's so many athletes now coming out, isn't there? There's an advocate for it, saying, and sleep is their number one. And even Ronaldo, I know.
He naps.
Yeah.
He has a nap every day.
they you can do strategic naps, and they say it's the next best thing to performing enhancing drugs is amazing. Naps. If you have tactical naps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah.
Right. How can people get in touch with you? I mean, you've got your books, obviously.
Yes.
The research has been done.
So if you don't already follow me, my Instagram is just_chill_mama. You can find me there. Most of my stuff is linked on there, but the website is justchillbabysleep.co.uk. Yeah. I've got a team who do one-to-one calls, and we have NHS professionals working with us in that team. We also have our online courses for sleep from newborn up to age 5. And we do actually other things like fussy eating behaviour.
Oh, right.
Basically everything you need as a parent.
Yeah. Oh my God,
get you
amazing.
Back for the feeding.
I honestly wish I had had your number when I had my first, because we just didn't know what to do. We were really struggling. And in a way, it felt like, oh, you know, a sleep consultant that felt like almost out of reach. Like I needed to be someone special or have a huge amount of money or be a celebrity or, I don't know, something that I couldn't access. But actually, you're already accessible.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't have to sort of suffer and, you know, with sleepless nights, do you?
Exactly.
Okay, well, we end every episode with asking you what is one thing you wish you'd known before becoming a parent? So I just put you on the spot. Yeah.
I wish I'd known that there is help out there for everything. That if you're struggling with something, you're not the only person. There'll always be someone else who's gone through that or is going through that. So you're not alone, and just reach out for help.
Yeah. Great bit of advice for new parents, isn't it?
Yeah, I love that. I feel like social media has helped as well with that, because now you can see, you know, sometimes you feel like you're the only person, but then now you can almost see a mum that's, you know, going through the same challenges that you are, and it really helps because you feel like not alone.
Well, because you rarely find that your best friends are going through the same thing or at the same time as you. So then obviously we said about NCT, but yeah, it's obviously good to know that there's always someone to help.
Oh, well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you. No, that was really, really helpful, I'm sure, to a lot of people. And obviously we'll put all of your details in the description down below and in the notes of this podcast. We would obviously love to have any of your comments. If you've got any questions, put them all down below. And don't forget to rate, review, follow wherever you listen to your podcast. And thank you so much for watching. We'll see you in our next episode.
See you.
Bye.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them. And guess what? That's normal. Regain offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd try couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod. This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, couples therapy that works.